It's Engineer Eric from Jimmy Doan Show. You're listening to part two of our December 1st, 2009 Jimmy Doan Show. And we're back.
Woo-hoo! And we're back. Two things that I thought were kind of interesting. The
Hugo?
Yeah,
Hugo.
This is Hugo.
Hugo.
Woo!
Hugo.
Hugo.
Charlie.
Yeah, babe.
Hugo.
He's putting it down. He's laying it down.
Laying it down, baby.
What's he doing, Jim?
Chavez threatens to nationalize the banks.
He threatened that a long time ago.
Well, no, he's serious this time, though. He sent him a stern note. Venezuela President Hugo
last
Chavez.
Time it was just the Spanish banks or
right,
something.
Right, exactly. He took one of them. He took one of the Spanish banks.
Okay.
And he paid him some money for it, but he's telling them now they're not doing well, and now he's going to nationalize the private banks they comply with the law. Added, quote, no problem with that because the banks don't want to extend credit to the poor.
Right, right.
I'm thinking, wait a minute, this sounds suspiciously local here. You don't want to extend credit to those who have no money?
I mean, so we're gonna step in and take over.
Yeah, and what are you gonna do? You're gonna loan, but it's interesting because
money out to the needy people.
I understand that, and then they're not. Of course, they're poor for a reason, and they are not going to pay you back. Okay.
Wow, Chavez is a Democrat.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. No, he's even better than that.
Whatever. I'll do what I want.
but this ties in a little bit with what they're doing here. Yesterday, the Fed or somebody announced, or maybe it was Obama announced, that they were going to force the mortgage companies to lower the rates and defer the payments on housing. Yeah, force. They had before they until yesterday it was voluntary. You know, they were using the jawbone of, you know, they're going to try and shame them into. They literally said they're going to shame them into it.
And is this a bill that passed?
No. Apparently, they want to do some kind of an executive order, or they're going to do a bill or something. But the government pressures on mortgage lenders to accept less than the full amount they are owed may win votes for politicians. But since there are far more borrowers than lenders, but how much future lending can be expected when the lenders know that politicians are ready to intervene at any time to prevent them from getting their money back is one of the things. But that hasn't stopped them. They apparently are going to, they're seriously considering a bill that will force the private lenders to accept less, either by an extended pay, lower interest rate, or just simply less money for the mortgage that they've...
Democrats piss me off.
Yeah. So, but this is not so much different from nationalizing the banks. I mean, at least Hugo's honest about it.
Right.
I mean, he's, you know, he said that in a broadcast, I love this, in a broadcast from nationalized farmland in central Venezuela, this has already taken over the farmland, to all the country's private bankers.
And a nationalized radio station.
That's right, a nationalized radio station. I will take over the bank, whatever its size. You want me to nationalize the banks? He said, you can't handle it. No, he said, you.
Yeah, yeah.
He said during the broadcast of his weekly
right
TV
now.
Show, Alo Presidente.
Alo Presidente.
That's right, Alo Presidente. I have no problem with that because the banks don't want to extend credit to the poor. They don't comply. They don't want to comply with the bank's purpose for existence. That is the law. So Chavez said the purpose of the banks was not to enrich a small group, but that they should collect funds and savings to help aid the country's development by making loans, extending credits for housing. And he repeatedly threatened to seize the Spanish bank subsidiaries in Venezuela unless Spain's king apologized for telling him to, quote, shut up.
Yeah.
In November 2007, at a regional summit where Chavez branded a recent ex-Spanish prime minister a fascist. But, I mean, you know, he's pissed because the guy told him to shut up, so he took his bank. I mean, can you?
Yeah. Oh, God.
You know, how is it that state resources, which belong to the people, end up in the place of private banks? And he said that if it were up to him, he would have jailed the 16 executives due to a flight risk. They have their own light aircraft and private airports. They can leave. I mean, the one thing that in a free country that you're supposed to always be able to do is get out. I mean, if they are onerous, you know, supposedly here in Florida, if you don't like it, you can move to Georgia or Texas. Of course, everything's being federalized. So now when you move, it's the same laws a lot of times when they criminalize everything. But, I mean, that's the thing. If they take away the power to vote with your feet, that is the definition of tyranny.
Right.
And that is unbelievable. I mean, you know that there is something wrong. I always said that, you know, 30 years ago when I went over, walked through the Berlin Wall, you know, going through Checkpoint Charlie and saw all the stuff that was there. And I thought, you know, this. You don't have to know anything about what's on the other side of that wall. You just don't have to know. You know it's wrong, it's bad, and it's immoral.
Right.
Because
you're just another weak human afraid to face death.
Exactly right. And you didn't have to know. It's like the King Kong wall, you know?
Yeah.
You didn't have to know.
You didn't have to know.
What?
No, you don't even want to know. Yeah. It could be a fuzzy little Easter bunny. I don't care.
You got your fingers in your ears. La, 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 la.
Don't even want to know. And so once you
fuzzy little Easter bunny. Look at the rabbit.
That's right.
Look at the bones.
It could be the one that attacked Jimmy Carter.
Look at the bones.
So anyway, I just, you know, that was what I said, you know, this tells it all. And to think that people actually bought into it. I mean, you got to think, what kind of brainwashing would you sit there and you're watching the wall go up and you're on the east side and you're watching the wall go up and you're thinking, wait a minute.
They'll let me out tomorrow.
Yeah, they're walling me in. I mean, this is suspiciously like a prison.
Say. Well, that's the same thing they're doing here.
Where?
In the United States.
They're walling them out, supposedly.
Oh.
Well,
no,
I've
they're
always...
walling us in. They're creating the nanny state so that we're actually walled in. We're tied to the
I agree.
Tied to government.
I agree with you on that. My statement was if they build the Texo-Mexo-Eras wall across the southern border, you know, and put turrets up there, that it doesn't take too much to turn them guns around.
Yep.
So, you know, that's, again, you know, like you say, the nanny state, and it's fascinating as with his health care program. I mean, what an unbelievable...
I tell you, Nancy Pelosi is like a teenage girl with the U.S. credit card, you know, the U.S. Treasury credit card. Somebody needs to send her to a room. I mean, seriously.
They need a 12-step program is what they need. I mean, they're addicted.
You know what? What
about a 10-foot plank?
I tell you what nobody really says is that this health care bill is going to kill people.
Right.
It's going to kill people.
Yeah.
I mean, once you limit the money that's going into health care, that's going to reduce the supply of doctors, which means the supply of health care, which means people die.
Yeah.
And then it reduces the R&D as well.
Right.
Which is our crowning jewel of our healthcare system.
Right.
I mean, if you limit the top dollars, then the kids today coming out of college are going to be like, well, let's see, I could be a doctor and my top salary is $200,000, or I could be a lawyer and I could make $1 million, you know?
By suing the healthcare people.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. And that, I think I talked about that on one of our shows a long time ago, actually, is that the key to healthcare reform is actually tort reform.
Right. And you notice it's not a word.
Because it's a double-edged sword. Number one, you reduce the insurance costs significantly from all the crazy lawsuits and the outrageous awards that these juries are giving people. And number two, it decreases the cost of all the testing that people have to do to cover their ass.
Right. Now,
the insurance rules are really more influential and more damaging and costly than the tort laws.
Well, you mean the interstate, the ability to sell insurance interstate?
That's one.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, no, I think that's a big thing as well.
I don't understand why
mandatory.
We have an insurance commissioner anyway.
It's mandatory insurance rules for all sorts of different things.
Right. And all the states are different. And some states cover an ingrown toenail and, you know, on up, and that's got to cost something. They, for some reason, they have this zero pay. If you get the sniffles, you get to go in, and that's just not working. You know, there ought to be a... You know, they're obviously, well, until 1960 or, well, until the government got involved in it, we all paid for our basic, you know, our tick shots, our flu shots, our ingrown toenails. We actually paid even if we got a serious cut and had to go have it stitched up. They did that. I mean, that was all, that was out of pocket. The only thing you bought insurance for was if you needed, you know, a brain transplant or something.
Right. Yeah. And some unforeseen circumstance that would basically whack you financially.
Right. And that was, and that was cheap insurance because, you know, the odds of that, of your needing, you know, a major kidney, both kidneys replaced simultaneously or something, were one in a jillion. So I mean, I remember my first cat insurance, which covered like a, you know, unbelievable amount of stuff. It was like $100 a month or something, and it covered.
You insured your cat?
Yeah, right. Catastrophic.
I guess they're tied together as well because, of course, the people have to have the insurance because if they don't, they'll get sued and lose in the tort law. And
that's another thing, right? Well, the other thing that is fascinating about this, and of course, the fact that they're having an argument over it, you understand that, of course, the tort law is in nowhere addressed in either the Senate or the House bill.
No mention.
And the other thing that of course they're arguing about is abortion, which, you know, okay, fine, whatever. But the main one is the public plan, the mandatory.
Well, I think they want
mandatory that you have insurance, which is stunning to me. that a government could get away with. I can't believe it's legal. I can't believe it's constitutional that they would force you to buy insurance if you just say, look, hey, I just won the lottery. I've got $3 million in the bank. I have my own health insurance plan. I'm going to go to Japan and get a heart transplant. I don't need you. I don't want you. And what do you mean you're going to make me pay?
Hand it over.
Yeah, hand it. I mean, it's the worst kind of theft.
There are some serious questions, constitutional questions that have been raised already. I think that they would definitely challenge that directly, if not try to get some kind of preemptive ruling.
Well, they tried. Well, what's his name? Orrin Hatch tried to get an expedited ruling on that.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
they're very reluctant to do that.
Well, no, it wasn't them. It was they shot him down in the Senate. They said, you know, we're not going to let you do it or something. They wouldn't even let him, you know, go over, walk across the street to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, well, the fundamental thing about all this health care reform, in quotations, is it's all about government control. And
right.
We're well aware of that. And they want to establish control. They want to develop a more requirements on the government itself.
Well, it's stunning because I've wondered what is in it for these guys other than the control thing. I mean, they are in the pain business.
It's not the control thing. No, I mean, I wish it was the control thing, because if it was the control...
You don't think so, huh?
No, I don't, because then they could be uncovered. They could be found out. We could figure out who it is that's trying to control who and why. It's not that. They are legitimately trying to, quote, do good. And the problem is that once you take that step of you're going to be responsible for somebody else and do good, the next logical thing that you have to do is assume some control of them. I mean, you can't care for a person without controlling their actions in some way. And the more the nanny state grows and the more it cares for us, the more it's going to have to control us. They want to give us health care. But in order for you to do that, you got to sign up. We got to take your blood. We got to get you cataloged. You got to report 3 times a week. You got to, you know,
can't eat a Big Mac.
You can't eat a Big Mac. No. When you swipe your card, it's going to let you into McDonald's or not.
Well, they had, you know, there is something you can pull up on the internet that talks about ordering a pizza in 2012, and you know you remember that one where
hilarious.
We see here that your cholesterol is a little high. You sure you yeah. I don't
that
think
that was
should...
our bit.
It was.
Yeah.
And it's on the internet.
Wait a minute. It was?
I don't know. No, I think we talked about it, but I think that there's another professional one.
Yeah, there's a professional one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll have to find it. That was actually an ACLU. They put that out.
Oh, is that what? Okay.
Yeah, that little. You know, it's just it plays a sound between somebody ordering a pizza and
right.
the pizza.
Right.
Yeah, that was actually from ACLU. You can go on their website and find that there.
Yeah, we see your credit card's a little overdrawn here. How are you going to pay for this?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, just everything. Yeah, right. It was really hip. Well, let me tell you.
So, Kurt, you're saying that basically that the control part is not necessarily their
agenda.
Their agenda.
Right.
It's a ways to a means.
Exactly. They're caring, loving.
Well, they want to get elected, and what sounds good is providing all this stuff, and the only way to provide it is for them to establish more control, and then it keeps them elected.
You know, I don't need anybody giving me more and more candy just so I get fatter and fatter and die sooner, you know?
Well, the thing is that what we've got to come back to is that we're adults in America here, and we don't need other adults watching after us. And
especially them young whippersnappers. I hate to tell you this, but I'm older than most of those people.
Well,
I'm willing to take the risk, you know, and I have some 30-year-old congressman telling me what to do is an insult.
And see, whenever they say, it's a perfect direct route, whenever they say, and the children will be protected with this new statute, what they mean is that people who can't make decisions for themselves about this issue, we're going to protect, and also that happens to be the children. But it's people who can't make decisions for themselves, and therefore we're going to take the control as well. And they just that's where they're going with this whole thing is they really do have the us and them mentality, and they're going to take care of the people who can't take care of themselves, and if it means control.
Well, the point, there's two things that are considered here that I am just finally within 2 pages of finishing The Road to Serfdom, which goes through this on a planning type of thing. And as you just mentioned, how once you start down this path of trying to provide something, you necessarily end up with a totalitarian regime. I mean, you have to. There's
that
no
is
other
the
way.
End.
That is the end, and it happens every time. And empirically, logically, mathematically, and so forth. He goes through in this book.
It's provable.
It's provable, right? And he goes through the whole thing on this. And One of the things about healthcare, of course, as with so many economic items, it's a scarce resource. So it's going to be rationed. It's going to be rationed one way or the other. The question is, do you want some guy telling you that you can or can't do it, or would you rather just have the money? And, of course, the most democratic way, which I guess upsets them, is the money. I mean, you know, it should be 100% whether or not you can afford it. And when you find out that when you work that way, you find out that competition, because it's only after the money, the competition brings you the highest and best quality of whatever it is you're after at the lowest price. It always does that.
And
it commoditizes the item, which would mean that I have no doubt that in a totally free market system where it was only money, that CAT scans and MRIs would be 50 cents. You know, walk into Eckerd's and get one or whatever the hell it is. I mean, as it is now, you know, up in Canada, so I was seeing where it's like a 6-month wait to get an MRI unless you're a dog.
Yeah.
In which case you can pay for it and your dog can get one in 10 minutes.
Really?
Yes, exactly. The pets.
Can you just glue some fur on you?
Again, I don't know what the deal is, but I'm sure that, like so many things, it's a SWAT team offense. That right. If you try and bypass the system by doing it, you know, it's kind of like gambling in a way here. If you set up your little gambling table in the other room and start betting, I mean, they can knock down the door, deal.
Issue your own lottery tickets? Or
yeah,
anything?
Issue your own lottery tickets. You try and do that.
So you don't advertise your poker game over here.
I'm sorry. I have no idea what you're talking about. No idea.
Mic hits the floor out there.
Boom.
But
the question now. The question is: we can go into prediction time. What if anything is going to pass?
Oh, I think that they're definitely going to pass something.
But I mean, the real dichotomy, the real. It seems to me the wedge issue is this public plan business. I mean, either you got one or you don't. No, they're talking about some kind of trigger as opposed to try and get Olympia Snow on the thing. They're talking about, well, we're not going to have a public plan unless
fails. I'll tell you what they'll do. Here's my prediction. Curtis' prediction is they're going to pass the public plan option portion of this.
No.
Only on a very small portion of the society. Like, they'll say, oh, it's just the people who are between 25 and 35 who are 6 months behind on... You know, I mean, they'll make it some group that everybody will go, I guess with those people should have public option force be able to pay that or something. And I think they'll sneak it through. I don't know about the force pay thing, but
the public plan include when I say public plan, I'm including the force pay. I'm including the fact that on your tax return there'll be another line item that says, do you have health insurance? And if you can't prove it, then you fill in $3,500 or whatever the hell it is, additional tax.
Yeah. Right.
That's what I call the public plan. Okay, it may not be exactly, but okay.
No, then I think they'll get some measure of that through.
Okay.
And then they'll work to expand it over.
Well,
the next
of course
week.
They will. Yeah, and they've already said this is no matter what it is, they've always said everything here is the first step.
Right.
Yeah, they're just boiling the frog.
Yep, they sure are. So that's your thing.
They turned up the heat pretty good recently.
Yeah,
they have. Yo,
that frog may get a little wary.
Some of us are jumping out. I'll tell you right now. We're close to doing that. If I could get rid of some of this stuff in the back room here, I don't have almost enough money to fill up my tank. You get out of here.
Your tank.
Just need stuff that people want to buy on eBay, Jimmy. That's the problem.
Yeah, it is. Well, let me tell you something. Speaking of that, of course, the money hasn't come into the economy yet. But I'll tell you, you can buy stuff today for nothing. I mean, people are scrambling. I was at a garage sale the other day. Guy was selling his complete music outfit. I mean, drums, guitars, mixers, everything at a garage sale, for God's sakes, because he lost his job and needed to make the mortgage payment. I mean, and he was giving the stuff away.
Well, if he's got any, like, vintage synths or even, like, decent synths.
I called you.
Well, you got to call me on the phone.
Oh.
You don't just yell out the window, the car.
Oh, well.
Oh, Eric!
Hey, boy, get over here!
Well, were you listening to the CB?
Yeah, right. Was I on Channel 12? Oh,
yeah,
no, I was on
12.
Channel 8. Yeah.
Well, then.
Yeah.
No wonder.
Yeah, exactly. All right. And I didn't pick up your ham radio frequency either.
I called you twice, two different frequencies. I said it in very clear. Right. It's 5 words a minute Morse code.
Right.
I don't understand.
Right.
It was clear as a bell.
Gap.
It's a spark gap. That's right.
And a carrier pigeon.
Right.
That's right. No,
messages everywhere.
That's it. I tried everything. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. Okay, what and so Stitch, how about you? What's your prediction on this?
Yeah, I'm not so. They're going to pass something. I'm with Curtis on that. Exactly what, though? Really, really hard to say.
And of course, they have to pass something. Is what everybody says. If it fails, like if it goes into February and they don't get something passed and the elections start cranking up, then, you know, I'm convinced that Obama's a one-termer anyway, but still,
he'll pass it even if it's gutted.
Yeah, but you were convinced that Hillary would be the Democratic nominee.
I'm not out of...
Wait a minute.
I said, wait a minute.
He's not out of office
yet. The ruling hadn't come down.
No, she's still in line.
I'm still in.
Yeah.
She is in line, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's just down a few ranks there.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. I think she's number four or five, isn't she? We figured that out.
Something like that, yeah.
So
I forget. I don't like to think about things like that.
Well, again, it's just one of those things. But the point is that... If he doesn't, and I'm sitting there, I don't know. I think it's a real toss-up at this point. I think that it's conceivable that between the abortion and the public option that they might not get the 60 votes.
Yeah.
And if they got, I mean, if they just have one defection, one.
Yeah.
They will kill him.
Well, they might do a Mary Landrieu, mm-hmm. and, you know, and offer the one defector $1 billion.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Oh, yeah, that was choice.
Yeah, wasn't that sweet? I wasn't bought off? Oh, yeah. No.
Which one was that?
Mary Landrieu, she was the holdout from Louisiana on the House bill.
Are you talking about the medical bill that's just going through right now, the health care?
No, to bring it to the floor.
Right, she showed
well,
up.
They gave her state $350 million or something.
Yeah,
like
$300 million for New Orleans for her
district.
She
drove up in a Yugo and drove away in a Ferrari.
Boy, you got that right. Yeah. Two of them. I mean, you know, one for each foot. Yeah, no, there's no question.
One for each foot. Sweet.
She had good juju. So. She definitely made out like a bandit. Of course, some of the people that didn't hold out are sitting there scratching their heads, saying, whoa, wait a minute.
Where's my stuff,
yeah,
man?
Exactly. So that's the other thing.
They didn't do a Dutch auction or whatever?
I'm telling you, it may be that two or three people are going to get, the light bulb's going to go on, and they're going to say, wait a minute.
Yeah. We saw what happened over here.
We saw what happened over here.
History can repeat itself.
Yeah, sure. You know, yeah. And so there may be lots.
The only time they ever look at history repeating itself is when they could get something from
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm thinking it's a definitely toss-up, but I'm hoping that it'll crash and burn, and that'd be...
I think it's going to die. That's my prediction.
Yeah, well, I think something is going to pass, but...
Well, the question is, of course, if it does pass as a totally gutted item...
Yeah, and no, that'll pass.
And they claim it's a
they'll
victory.
Declare victory. Yeah.
I know, but will then the MSM, the mainstream media, go on board and say it's not a victory? And I'll tell you why. Because if you've noticed recently, between Saturday Night Live and the cartoonists mm-hmm. and everything, I mean, even people that you wouldn't expect are starting to laugh at Obama. I mean, they're starting to look at him as inconsequential. And they're laughing, and that's the worst.
That SNL skit that went around was hilarious. Stitch sent.
Oh,
that
my
was
God.
Awesome.
I mean, oh, my God. God. I mean, you know, you just, you know.
I don't laugh at many things out loud, but I started laughing at that one. Yeah. That
well, I'll tell you,
funny.
I got a thing in
I'm sure you'll put a link to it.
Absolutely.
Link, that's right.
I did link to your global warming PowerPoint presentation, that one
that
you found.
That was a good presentation.
Yeah, I linked to that one. I mean, the one that you found, I guess. But it shows us. In size in relation to China, and that's linked on one of the last
that was
podcasts.
Really good.
You know, the other thing you might like, Eric, now that we're linking things, is that animated map.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that animated map I showed you for unemployment.
Right. That was good. I like
that.
That
was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was. You know, it's funny.
I'm going to have to go look at that one again.
It didn't start off all that. I was wondering, you know, for the first minute or so, I was thinking, well, okay, what's going on here? And then all of a sudden, whoppo, it fills in, and you're going like, whoa, guess what?
Oh, that'd be all right. Well, no problem. We'll have it. I'll link to that one, too. I need to look and make sure I got that one.
I sent it to you. Okay. Sent you everything.
Yeah. I send you everything. Stuff right. that mailbox.
That's it.
Now, I call the herd, mind you. You know, there's a lot of stuff I don't send you. But
right, right. Which I appreciate.
I send you good stuff.
No, yeah. You always do, actually.
Yeah, you always do good stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's pretty much it, isn't it?
Other than the fact that I did like the guy was talking about, he went to Chrysler, and he was trying to explain, he was asking, he goes, the Obama person was in there trying to decide, make some decisions for him. And he goes, you know, what are these laws of physics I keep hearing about? Who wrote those?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, Jimmy wrote me back and he said, well, you know, it is pathetic if it's true.
Yeah.
Right.
It is so close to being believable, given the people that he brought in.
I love this. So close. It's right. I mean, just a single finger would push it over into the...
I just think, I deal with some of these characters.
I know you do.
They are freaking idiots.
You know, you're our link also to the Dilbert crowd.
Yeah,
I mean, you've dealt with some of those people before. I mean,
dealing with them at the present.
I mean, that is, Scott Adams has got to be one of my most favorite people, other than the Lockhorns. But I mean, I cut them out every Sunday, the Dilbert comics. And I do think about you because you've done the cubicle route before, haven't you?
Yeah, no. Yeah, I lived the cubicle life. it's entertaining.
Oh, my God. It's just, I've read all of Scott Adams' books and everything, and they're just hysterical. I don't know where I sort of know where he comes up with the stuff, but to come up with it every day is just... You know, I don't see how the people do that. It's really amazing.
It's a never-ending source of inspiration.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess it is. I was trying. I've never been in that route before. I inherited my money, so.
No, yeah, that's just as well you didn't. You know?
Of course.
But it's easily imagined. You got a dumbass for a boss, and it goes downhill from there, so.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the Dilbert things. They were talking about the dumbass, the boss's... Since they always hire people supposedly that are smarter than themselves,
right?
That means that the dumbest one is on top,
right? Yeah.
So you're right.
Yeah, but the good ones, you know, now the good ones recognize that they've got a lot of smart people working for them, and they leverage that, and they're smart enough to understand that.
Right. Well, that's what Bill Gates always said.
He's, you know, and that's what you do. Surround yourself with the best possible people, and you'll do well.
Well, you know, another thing though is you can find people that are just brilliant in one particular area, and you put them there.
Yeah,
and
they need to be managed.
Exactly, and that happens a lot. I mean, I've seen people that were stunning, I mean, just unbelievable in different areas, and, you know, different people, different areas, and, of course, that's where you place them, and then you...
And she was an awful secretary.
But sharpen a pencil, I tell you.
Yeah. Did you see that? Did you see the resume that was sent around?
Yeah, that girl.
The girl, she
had to put a link to it.
Yeah.
Hey, Eric, why didn't you put a link to it?
Jack Rhodes is having orgasms right now at home. He can't even figure out why.
I wish I could howl like Jack does. Yeah. That'd be awesome about now, but I just can't. I can't bring it.
Hey. He's probably dialing in and getting a busy signal and wondering what the hell's going on.
Yeah, he's hilarious. That's I got some good Jack Rhodes laughs actually clipped out.
You certainly do. I think it's the herbs that I'm not taking that I need, you know, to get that going. You know, I'm just not quite there yet.
And don't forget the Jack Rhodes Show.
Oh yeah, the Jack Rhodes Show. Right. Always top notch.
Always top notch. That's always good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
See, we have our engineer here. Boy, he knows where this stuff is. I tell you, he calls it right up.
I'm impressed with that, actually, Eric. To tell you the truth, having to sit behind the computer and run the soundboard all simultaneously.
What's really impressive is Eric's not even here. This is all sound effects.
Yeah, that's right. Eric's the sound effect.
So it's Curtis that's pushing the
button. No. He recorded it all in advance, and we just talk right at the right
spot.
Yeah,
we have a script here. It's scrolling on the on the screen, and then we pause, and then it kicks in.
So. No, I just have a couple of these because I've used them on our show's intro. This is one of my favorite ones, too.
Gene, what's the succometer say today?
That's good.
Oh, my God, that succometer is just fully pegged to the fully suck position.
Who is that crazy bastard?
Who is that
crazy bastard?
I can't imagine. I don't know.
So, Eric, you know, when are you coming out this summer?
When am I coming out this summer? The summer's getting colder.
Dude, it's going to be, well, right now it's pretty chilly. It's going to be 20 tomorrow and then 15 the next day, so.
Wow. Well, that'll, you know, I was just trying to lose enough weight to where we could both fly in the yak at the same time.
I don't want to worry about that. I've got some big boys in the back. But
well, at least when it's colder, we'll have a little more air density.
Well, you know, it just helps to recover from a flat spin if you're not too fat in the back.
Right, so. Right, right.
A flat spin. Oh, those are always good.
The inverted kind.
Yeah, that's right.
Jimmy, you going on a national trip again this summer?
If I can, my goal, actually, depending on how things go, my goal, much to the Ms. Jimmy doesn't even like the idea, is to get a motorhome.
All right.
And
what the hell's wrong with that?
Jimmy Doan taking it on the road.
Hello.
I mean, you park that son of a bitch at 4 o'clock, and by 5 o'clock, it's cocktail hour. Well, that's right. You don't drink cocktails.
No, not anymore. No.
That'd be good for me.
Is the people going to die?
No, that's right. No, the idea is to have at least a land-based escape vehicle. I can't afford the airplane at this point, but I need to have a land-based, anonymous vehicle.
Right.
And that's part of the deal. And they're giving away motorhomes down here these days. I mean, giving them away.
Yeah, no, I was looking into that. I was also looking into getting a boat.
Well, yeah, except I get violently seasick, so I've decided I...
Well, it's also hard to drive across Arizona.
Yeah, maybe
you
not.
Can overcome anything if you put your mind to it, Jimmy.
No question about that. No question about it.
But I think the land yacht is the way to go.
I think that is my game plan, and I've been looking around, and I found a couple of deals. I got to wait for gold to go up another $100, and I'll have enough money.
There you go.
And then we'll might cash in. Actually, I've already cashed in a little bit. But
Well, that was to fend off, Mrs. Jimmy.
Yeah, I do that, and yeah. That was that. Well, and of course, then there's a hot tub coming. So,
there you go.
So I had.
What the hell do you need a hot tub in Florida for?
Actually,
no, I'm just asking.
Actually, I know. Actually, it's getting kind of nippy here tonight. It's supposed to go down into the 50s and 40s.
My God, the humanity!
Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. No, my arthritis is kicking up or something.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd just go out there and lay around. And of course, it's an open invitation to certain of the female persuasion if they happen to want to come over. And
true.
We're just trying to get it a big enough one so when he goes on vacation, we can actually
use
it.
There you go. Yeah.
Choke.
It is a...
Cough.
No clothes allowed, hot tub.
Yeah.
It's going to look like...
No, I've got the...
Even the whole Jimmy Doan house.
No, exactly.
The whole studio.
It's going to look like some kind of naked cult over here.
You guys do the show a la mode?
Is that that's right.
A la mode.
That's right.
Yep. Good. Commando.
Commando. That's it. That's it. We have no problem. We're no shame here.
Just in happy coats, having a good time. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, just wash the seats when you're done. That's all I ask. Eric, looks like I might be coming back out for Sun and Fun this particular year.
Oh, yeah?
So I might try to figure out, you got to have to figure out a way to get down there.
Yeah, that's true.
And I
got
to try to figure out a way that I can get up there and maybe do a show in studio.
Is that Stitch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wait, that last part's not me.
What you didn't hear was the... you didn't hear the bomb detach is what you didn't hear.
Right, right.
Oh, okay,
right.
All right. All right, very good.
Well, that sounds great. I'm all about it. Yes, again, I was bummed out I didn't make it last year, but I will, of course.
No, you were just drunk. I understand.
I had a designated driver for me that flaked out.
Yeah.
So, that's a hike for me to drive down there, and I got to have somewhere to stay, sort of. So it's like.
Well, we had a place for you to stay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
In the car.
There was a plane
under the wing.
Yeah, right.
Well, under the wing.
Let's not get fancy.
I didn't discuss how the accommodations were. Right. I said we had a place for you to stay.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I remember when I went up there to the E. I went up the one up north, and we stayed under my wing.
Yep. The one at Oshkosh.
Yeah.
It was actually in Rockford in those days.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day, we went to Rockford.
Yeah, you're showing your age right now.
Yeah, the truth.
Well, a right flyer, you can put people under both wings, and it's pretty comfortable.
Yeah. Well, what we need to do is get you all to come up to Oshkosh, maybe.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Oh, yeah.
We do our little mobile podcast up there. Which
If I get the motorhome, you can
bring it.
Oh,
yeah, bring it.
No, I'd be on the road for that. I can guarantee you. That's going to be something.
Oh, yeah, you better be careful, Jimmy. You might end up taking some cross-country extravaganzas with a whole bunch of Mrs. Jimmy relatives.
No, I don't think they. I got a feeling they probably wouldn't want to go. First of all, I'd load it up with Apple IIe computers and stuff. So that,
and then yeah, exactly. Like, you need to say that we're
that's
going.
Like, that's like kryptonite to them.
So. Oh, yeah. My God, this land yacht is loaded with Apple.
That's right. Let's get out of here. Run away!
age.
Yeah, before you become Macified.
That's it.
That's right.
Run away! Run away! Yeah. Oh, that'd be awesome, though.
No, that's really is my game plan. They're as I say, they're just about giving away. I've seen things here that went for 50, 60 grand, and they're, you know, asking like 10. And, you know, hardly ever used and, you know, low miles.
Yeah, they're never, ever used.
No, some of them are, but I mean, seriously, yeah. If you get it, you know, I went and looked at one the other day and...
Well, me and Bodine and 12 kids lived in it for 5 years, but
it was parked right here. We didn't drive it out.
That
I don't need. Okay, well, I'm...
Yeah, well, you know, the guys that, what do they call them? The full-timers, I guess.
There's those, and you know, there's a lot of, you know, the Good Sam Club, and there's a lot of nice people. I'm a congenial type guy. I could probably get along.
I think you probably could do quite well.
Yeah, get on channel 19 or whatever.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. So what other news we got, Jimmy? Stitch, you got anything you brought? To
yeah, the- you got anything, Stitch? Did you guys
well,
ever?
Well, you know, Obama sending troops over to Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah, that was something that we were going to ask Stitch about.
Where we're
the old double-edged sword, if you will. Plus, they want to have a. Of course, they've espoused a "we're leaving" plan.
Yeah, good luck.
He ran on "we're getting out of those places."
Right. Well, never mind that.
What I said back then.
That was a campaign promise.
Yeah, that was.
You know, he's the Messiah.
Hey,
so.
Look, that was a year ago. Come on.
Right.
Come on.
Like, you know, things have changed now that I've come into office. That's why Gitmo still exists. Oh,
that was another one.
Oh, that.
That's why gays are not allowed in the military.
Oops. Yeah.
Oh, God, what else?
Yeah, no.
Well, that was another SNL skit that he goes, you really don't have to worry about it. I'm getting all this bad press, but see, I really haven't done anything. And then he goes down this whole list of stuff.
Yeah. No, they have, what's interesting is there was a fairly lengthy letter that was put out in the public by Michael Moore, of all people.
Yeah, I think sent that out yesterday.
Is that right? I mean, I thought, it was interesting to read the comments. To the letter. I mean, they were all over the place. Those comments were all over the place. But, I mean, he basically said, and I thought he had a point. I mean, what are you doing, for God's sakes? You know, they got 3,000 years of beating the shit out of everybody. And, you know, you're going to go over there and do, I'm sorry, what? The time and effort and everything and history is really not on our side on that one.
No, and, you know, McChrystal.
He originally wanted another 80,000.
McChrystal is a smart, smart guy.
Right.
You know, there's a few of those, there's a handful of those guys, absent the Dilbert whole thing, but there's a few of those guys that are really, really brilliant guys. And his task is, you know, he's been given a certain task, and he says, look, if you want me to do this, this is what I need to have
right.
to make this happen. Now, if you tell me I don't have to do this particular task, then, you know, I don't need these people, and, you know, we should leave.
Yep.
You know, it's certainly...
It's hampering the opium trade a little bit.
Well, no,
I heard
not
it's
that
not.
Much.
I heard no, it's yeah. not. No, I heard it's really it's
not
booming,
that much,
actually.
Because that's a cash crop for them, and they don't really want to disrupt that. What they really want to do is garner the support of the populace to the point where they can root these guys out. The problem still remains that these guys are hiding in Pakistan.
Yep.
And until Pakistan says, look, the weapon's free... then, you know, there's not much we can do.
No, I mean,
McChrystal's doing the only thing he can do in Afghanistan, and that is, you know, attempting to win the hearts of those people and at least provide some semblance of protection for them.
But
and that's kind of what he's doing.
Yeah, but, I mean, the point is that if there's even a hint that this protection is going to vaporize in the
right,
next...
Right, which is what Obama said.
Right. I mean, if there's even a hint that it's going to vaporize, you know, they may mouth out the platitudes to the soldiers and everything, and, you know, thank you so much, but they're going to be covering their bets. You can bet on that.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely correct.
And everybody, all the fighters, just now all I got to do is go underground for a few years.
Well, over in Pakistan, you know, let's go. I mean, you know, where are you going to come over and attack Pakistan, our friend?
Winning the hearts doesn't seem like a military objective.
It's not.
I mean, cutting the hearts out, that's a military.
That's one.
I would agree. But unfortunately, McChrystal's placed in a situation, you know, it's a kind of an untenable situation.
I mean, that's the key. It's untenable.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the way it is with this, with the health care. That is the way it is with the bailouts. I mean, in this stuff, it's untenable.
Well, I'd like to point out, though, that when we first went into Afghanistan, fundamentally, the Northern Alliance was the one that won the war. You know, that kicked the Taliban's ass.
Right.
they just needed a little push, and we gave them just enough folks. There wasn't that many troops over there.
Right, I remember that.
And, you know, as a result, the Northern Alliance kind of, you know, routed out the Taliban, scared them up into the hills.
Right.
And we provided some support, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't this idea of having a lot more military. So McChrystal's idea is not to, you know, he doesn't want to bring these troops in, so he goes on offensive. He's, you know, the idea is more of training of the Afghan troops and all this other stuff. And really, that's about as good as he can get right now.
Just, you know, you say that, but I mean, you look at it and you think it's worse than nothing almost. I mean, 30,000, 32,000, whatever it is. I mean, that's like the wrong number. I mean, it should be, you know, zero or 100 or something.
I'm sure that McChrystal came up with a pretty accurate number, too.
His original number was somewhere that was actually leaked early on was around 80,000.
Yeah, and that's probably more appropriate.
Right, I understand that. And then, but he was beat down on that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, and so now, you know, for political reasons, and this is a tragedy of it, is for political reasons, okay?
Right.
They've decided to consign, you know, how many more people to death, basically, and, you know, away from their home, and, you know, and the cost of, forget the fact that it's going to be another trill or whatever the hell is involved in this.
Yeah.
Trill.
A trill, yeah. I've shortened it up.
You're using it so often.
So what comes after a trillion now? Yeah. I'm sorry. I forgot.
A Google zillion.
Well, it's a bunch, I'll tell you. It's quadrillion or whatever, but I'm just calling it a trill.
Yeah. Well, you guys know that I have a very, very close friend of mine that's actually a battalion commander over there, and he's lost a lot of his guys to.
I mean, that's got to like totally suck.
Yeah, and it's really hard. I try to pump him up. You know,
for what?
IEL,
I mean, you know,
so
what does he think about the commander in chief?
Well.
I mean, yeah. So
well,
I mean,
okay, let's put the shoe on the. Yeah, something like that. They don't scream like that, though.
No, I was talking about him.
Yeah, no, he doesn't scream like that at all. Yeah, he's the closest thing to Chuck Norris that I've ever, you know, closest guy I've ever met to Chuck Norris, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know,
I don't have that
type of guy he is.
I don't have that roundhouse kick that you guys have.
Oh, man, he's awesome. But, obviously I'm concerned about him and his troops and all that they're trying to do over there because again, like you say, Jimmy, the political limitations that they place on these guys.
I mean,
puts them in harm's way more often than not.
I mean, it's stunning to me. You know, it's like in Korea when they had the 38th parallel. You know, you could fight your way, you could beat the crap out of everybody, and then right there's this yellow line across the road, and you can the guy could stand over there and fart in your face, and you couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah, it's not like capture the flag.
Yeah, no, I mean, stunning. I mean, it's just unbelievable to me when I look at this, and I'm thinking, what are the politicians? You know, of course, they're sitting in their $160,000 a year salary, you know, big oak leather chairs and everything, and, you know, they're not dead.
No.
And I just look at it as the really phenomenal waste of human time, life, efforts. Forget the money. I mean, the money's bad enough, but I mean, just what it must do to families. I mean, I remember when my dad came home, for instance, from the Second World War. I mean, he was a totally different guy. I mean, it was just like, this post-traumatic stress syndrome or whatever apparently is a real thing. I mean, you get into, you know, you get into murdering people and like, it's hard to get out of it, I think.
Yeah. Well, no, it changes your life.
It
what
does.
You see, what you see and what you do. And, but, I mean, I think that's true for a lot of people. What you see and what you do changes your life.
And
people that, America's not at war. The military's at war. America's at the shopping mall.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right. Well, that is the big thing that I noticed during the Gulf War that I hadn't seen before was during the first Gulf War, literally the sorties and the planes, the war got reduced to a little tiny section on like page 3. And just there would be like an update every day or two, and it would say, you know, missions were flown over Iraq today, a few missiles were fired, you know, 3 insurgents were killed or something like that. And it's like, it's a war over there. And over here, it's page 3. And
well, not only that,
thing,
people are saying, well, I wonder if Halliburton's going to make some money out of this. You know, let me go check my stocks.
Right, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
See, what's going to happen to the price of oil? Maybe I should buy some oil, you know, today. I mean, that's what they do, you know, to use it to make money. I mean,
Well, ostensibly, the main goal in Afghanistan is to stabilize that country to the point where you don't have a safe haven for Al-Qaeda, but right now they're in Waziristan for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
Where is his Dan?
Yeah. I like that.
It's right next to Upper Crapistan.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a crazy goal. I mean, you know, if you know that somebody's our enemy, then you go directly after them. And if you don't know where they are, then
you occupy it and you put McDonald's down.
Yeah.
Drop a couple of McDonald's in
right.
There.
That's what we were going to have.
Wait
McDonald's.
A minute. They blew up a McDonald's over there, I think.
What? Okay, that's it.
That's yeah, pretty
that's
bad.
That's it. Okay, that's war.
You know, but old Ronald was still sitting over there with his leg crossed over his knee, you know, smiling.
Yeah, well, they're going to have a new Ronald with fatigues on.
Yeah, there you go.
Would you like bullets with that?
Yeah, it's the political will. I guess I wanted to put the shoe on the other foot and say, what would Bush do at this point in time?
I don't think. I think you're screwed.
No, I think he'd do. Maybe a little more. I mean, in the sense of more troops and stuff. I don't know if that's, you know, as we've talked about on the show many times. I mean, you know, once we launched and got in over there, you create a mess, and then it's just a matter of, you know, you're going to leave at some point because we know we're not going to take over the country.
Yeah.
So who's gonna be the one to say, okay, you know, we effed up, you know, we're getting our people out, and here we go, and we're good, and good luck.
Well, maybe they're thinking they're going to put in a new Shah of Iran or something. I mean, you know, and that how'd that work out for you? Kind of.
Yeah, not so good. I would think that he would actually put more pressure on Pakistan to allow it to get.
Yeah, well, of course, you got nukes that they were a little nervous about.
Well, that's the other side of the coin is the fact that the Taliban has kind of turned their attention into slowly working their way into Pakistan.
Right.
That gives them access to those nukes.
You know,
which would be a jihadist holy goal, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, this is I'm looking at this thing. This is something that just can't end well.
I have a question, Stitch. Are we just relying on the Pakistanis to take care of the Taliban inside Pakistan?
Yeah, pretty much. There's been some leeway to allow us to shoot stuff into there, but you know, we can't put ground troops into Pakistan.
See I mean, if they're really coming after us, if those are the people we're at war at, I say we just march in there and go get them.
Well, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I think Bush would put more pressure on Pakistan.
There'd be some pressure
in there.
There'd be some pressure.
You know, again, this is
pressure
all.
Wave.
I look at this and I think this is all violent stuff. And the problem is you don't know what's going to happen. You know, one of the rules, of course, is Curtis will tell you. Counselor Curtis is in the courtroom. You never ask a witness a question unless you know the answer.
Right. Sure.
You know, you shouldn't go to war unless you know the answer.
Right. Well, it was so
funny.
And
that's what what's his name said 2,000 years ago. Basically,
yeah.
The war's over when you start it. You know who's going to win.
Right.
Right.
And Sun Tzu and that was so funny when everybody started to talk about withdrawing originally from Iraq and Colin Powell was still the guy in charge. They started talking about the Colin Powell exit strategy and how he had an exit strategy and all this stuff. But because the political tenor was against developing an exit timeline, he came out and said, I don't know. I mean, obviously, he never had one to begin with. He came out and said, that was never part of my strategy. Getting out was never part of the deal. But I'm with you, Jimmy. I mean, you know what it's going to look like at the end. And you go in to whoop the tail and then get it to where it's supposed to be.
Yep.
But see, our problem has been the whole time, what we're trying to do is we go in there, we're trying to whoop everybody we didn't like, and then we're going to try to leave and leave the people we do like in charge. But you can't do that. I mean, we're the only ones who were able to whoop the tail to clear the path there. And so if we leave, it creates a vacuum in a civil war. Well, you know, that's just what we knew going in. I mean, what we talked about here, I know going in would be the problem. So it's like we said, you got two choices. Either you take the country or you get out at some point.
We
send them U-Hauls, folks.
Send them
yeah, very,
U-Hauls.
Very, that's a very hard country to take.
Yeah, right. No, that's the other thing. I mean, you know, the size, it's like bigger than Texas or something.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a huge country.
Yeah, and it's kind of like the Rocky Mountains everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, really.
Yeah.
I mean, not only that, it's like, you know, Switzerland wrote writ large, and you're sitting there thinking, and with every hiding place in the world there... You know, 100 people, you'd never find them. I mean...
And they haven't.
And they haven't, right, exactly. And
well,
they,
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
They've been looking for these guys for 9 years.
They know where they are. They can't get there because of the politics.
Well, right. I was going to say, other than that, they need to get themselves an Imperial Walker or something like that and go get it.
Yeah, no,
they can't even send them. What about the SEAL strike team, you know?
Well, no, any of those guys could do that. The problem is the political one, sending those guys in. So
you think they know right where Osama is?
They know whereabouts. They'd have to hunt him down, and the problem is you need people to hunt him down, and you can't get in there to hunt him down.
Right. You know, when you say whereabouts, you think about it, even if he was, like, in Gainesville, how many people would it take to find him in Gainesville? I mean,
somebody quick if it was an area this size. I mean,
I would?
Yeah, I think. I mean,
yeah, but you guys are flat.
Yeah,
that's true. Right.
Well, I mean, and there's enough people almost to keep track of. I mean, it's when you get the tens of millions out there in the countryside and the thousands and thousands and thousands of square miles.
And I'll tell you, they all look alike, too.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the other thing.
do keep in mind, though, that when, you know, it wasn't all a failure. The guys that went in there, they took out a bunch of the Taliban, a bunch of the Al-Qaeda leadership, captured them or killed them.
Right. Oh, sure.
You know,
up
until the point where they ran away into Pakistan and we couldn't really touch them.
Yeah, and of course, now of course, the next nice thing that they're doing is they decide to bring that guy up to New York to try him.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant.
And isn't that just the most brilliant thing you've seen?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, again, this can't end well.
We were talking about the other day and somebody says, I think they should try him in Texas.
Yeah, that's right. Because they'll execute the son of a bitch.
Exactly.
We have as Ron White says, we have the death penalty in Texas, and we use it.
Yeah. On a recurring basis.
That's right.
Yeah. Get him into George Bush's home county there.
Yeah.
That's right. Try him in Crawford. That's great.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you sit there, and when Eric Holder or one of those guys says, well, basically said, we're going to give him a fair trial and then hang him. I mean, I'm thinking, hello. Okay.
Fine. Or we were talking about it. Also, some of the hijackers that are dead got off. What you know, their family's going to get paid from the 911 fund. You know, restitution.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. When I first saw the story, Stitch, it said U.S. plans to try 9/11 hijackers in New York. and I'm thinking they're
dead.
Okay,
how's that work?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, they're dead. You know,
guys are dead.
You know,
we're gonna commit them to life. They can take away their virgins.
The one, and they've tried him, and he's down here at Canyon City, here in Colorado, at Supermax. So
he's at the Supermax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who knows?
Okay, he's got his Bubba tattooed on the back of his ass too. I'm sure.
No, you think
not? And so was Bubba virgin?
Oh, I'm sure he wasn't.
Dang. Somebody lied to me about somebody lied to me about that.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, not one of those 70 virgins, I'm afraid.
I was listening to one of your shows at the Hangar Dogs at hangardogs.com, if you guys know, but you were talking about when the new guy comes to into the penal colony, because they're issuing rubbers out to everybody, but sex isn't condoned or authorized, but we're going to give everybody rubbers, and it's like, you're like, oh, did you see the new guy coming in?
Yeah.
Those cheers aren't good sometimes.
Oh, man. Yeah, that keeps me, I'm smart enough to know I need to stay out of that, that's for sure. Yeah. Beads or no beads?
Yeah, no beads. Oh my God!
Yeah, so I don't know what the answer is. George Will wrote an op-ed piece about a month or so ago. He basically said, "Look, if you're not going to do it, just pull out of Afghanistan.
Right?
If you're not going to do it, pull out.
Yeah,
that's right.
I don't know how many times I've heard that.
Yeah, so not the truth, or said it. You know, honey, I promise.
there's a resulting consequence.
All right, that's an easy paid for, right?
That's an easy fib for a guy to make, I guess. You know.
And again, the military is an instrument of power of the political government.
See,
so.
It even goes. See, you can. If there's someone here, listen to this. You said before the election that you were going to pull out. If she was a Japanese girl,
she loved you wrong time.
You were here before the erection that you were going to pull up.
Yeah, you too, Boku, for me.
Oh, here's another Stitch quote.
Politicians, they have immense power to do harm to the economy, but they don't have any power to do
help?
Good. No.
Wow.
We have lots of them. We didn't even need, why do we call? I don't even know.
He's wasting
this nickel calling us. We could have just used
All right, everybody rocks out there. Thanks for listening to Hangar Dogs, and make sure you listen to Jimmy Doan Show.
Next time we'll just dub you in.
Yeah, we'll just dub him in. What the hell?
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That would be an awesome show where all you do is you ask me questions, you just put clips on.
Yeah, just get that right there.
What do you think the answer to global warming is, Ditch?
Get that right there. Awesome. Awesome. We can use that all the time.
Yeah. I've got a global warming.
Okay, we got it.
There you go.
Green makes a lot of sense when I got a lot of money and I'm sipping my little double skinny freaking frappy crappy fago lappuccino.
You know, I couldn't repeat that if I had.
But see, that's the beauty of technology.
You just did.
Whether you like it or not, pal, it is on the, it is permanently inscribed. When aliens show up 400 million years, they're going to dig that up and say, oh my God.
I've been immortalized.
What a potty mouth.
That's
yeah,
right.
I tell you what.
That's good. Well, I'm back.
You know what? We ought to invite Eric the engineer out here and waterboard him.
I don't think so.
All right, what else we got here? Yeah.
I'm done for now.
We
need to let this go,
take
I think.
Take a break.
Yep.
Yeah. You guys going to bring EJ on?
Yeah, I think we're going to give him a shout.
All right, well, you say howdy to EJ for me, if you would, please. I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, if he picks up, we don't know who's going to actually answer it this time.
It could be anybody.
That's right.
May I help you? I'm covered in chocolate.
I don't know.
Thanks so much for being here,
buddy. Yeah.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me on the show.
You got any bumper outro music here? Oh, wait.
Please put the girl from Ipanema in. It's my favorite. That'd be good.
Yeah, there we go.
We think about you all the time, pal.
That is just a damn awesome song if you think about it.
I loved it. We went to a gun show down at Disney World, actually, at one of the convention hotels down there. And there was like a Star Trek convention going on at the same time. And
that's good.
So we had to take like this tram to get to the hotel. So we're all in fatigues, just armed to the teeth, you know. And and we get on this tram, and there's all these kids with Spock ears on, and
the clash of cultures.
We got our Ray-Bans and pilot glasses on with all these weapons.
And girl from Ipanema.
We were walking through the lobby, and we hear "Girl from Ipanema" playing as we're cruising past the Trekkies going to our gun show.
Well, they had blasters and stuff, right?
Well, yeah, that's true. I don't think they were going to pull them on us, though.
How come they don't write music like this anymore? This is awesome stuff.
I don't know. I don't know what they do.
All right. Well, you guys, Jimmy Doan Show, take care.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, buddy. Right.
Rock and roll, man. We'll have this up probably by the end of the week.
All right, brother.
You keep the skies covered.
Yeah, man.
All right. We'll see you later.
All right, brother. Thanks, man.
All right. Bye.
You got Stitch from the Hangar Dogs, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay!
This is Engineer Eric from Jimmy Doan Show. That was part two of our December 1st, 2009 Jimmy Doan Show. Visit JimmyDoan.com for all those cool links we talked about.
She walks to the sea.